this on.
Jared,
we can turn it on.
Okay. I think we'll try to get started in the next minute or two. Okay, let's begin by singing Psalter number 85, 85, stanza 3, referring to creation, says, Jehovah speaks, the heavens appear, he breathes, and lo, each shining sphere in splendor stands arrayed. And that reference to God's breath is the reference to the Holy Spirit, whom we consider tonight. Let's sing the three stanzas, all three of 85. Okay, I'm going to get it right this time. Caleb. Which one? 107. Did I get it right, by the way? All right, good. 107. Let's sing the four stanzas, all four of 107.
Thank you.
there another choice? 247. 247. Let's sing all six of 247. Jonathan. 223. Let's sing all three of 223.
Thank you.
couple of announcements this evening before we pray. First of all, there will be a meeting afterwards for all of those who are interested in traveling to Iowa for the speech, which is set for May 14th. So if we could assemble over in this area after our prayer meeting tonight, we'll talk about some of the details of that travel. Secondly, we don't have any official details on this yet, but everybody has heard, I think, about the offer that has been made on Solomon's Porch Church on Baldwin Street, which offer was accepted, and the Finance Committee and the Building Committee will be meeting along with the council in order to get all of those details in place. The offer that we made was contingent upon congregational approval, which means that we'll have a congregational meeting at some point in the next few weeks in order to vote on that. We probably will have some kind of a walkthrough of the building as well so that people can see the building. So more official word about this will be coming out in due time, but the council can announce this at least tonight. Let's go to our covenant God together now in prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And as thou dost rule and guide thy church through all the ages of this life, thou dost also turn man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. For in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. And we too, Father, confess that we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. For thou hast set our iniquities before thee and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. We confess before thee this evening our own sin, our own iniquity, our own depravity, our own rebellion against thee, our God, our rebellion in Adam, our first father, and our rebellion ourselves by our own wicked deeds and words and thoughts, and by our own corruption, which we carry around with us all our days. And Father, if thou wouldst deal with us according to our sins, then certainly we would be destroyed, for who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. We depend entirely then upon thy mercies, which thou dost show in Jesus Christ, and thy grace, which is to usward, grace which is undeserved, and favor which we have not earned, but have forfeited every one. And so we beseech thee, Father, that in this evening, as we come before thee, thou wilt remember that all our days are passed away in thy wrath. Remember that we spend our years as a tale that is told. We pray, Father, that thou wilt be merciful to us in Jesus Christ and cover all our sins in his blood. We pray, Father, that thou wilt cause us as thy people to repent and be sorry for our iniquities, that we may not hide our sins or excuse them, but that we may swiftly and zealously repent of all our sins. We pray, Father, that thou wilt use thy word and the rebukes of thy word to pierce our hearts and to convict us of our own iniquity. And we pray that thou wilt use thy law, thy holy, blessed, glorious law, to show us our own depravity by nature, and to show us that even our righteousnesses, even our best works, are all as filthy rags, so that we may never be lifted up in pride, and may never look around at others and conclude that we are better than they, but that we may beat our breast and with head bowed before thee, cry out, God, be merciful to us, the sinners, the chief of sinners. We pray that thou wilt cover all our sins in the blood of Christ, that thou wilt cause us to hear that glorious gospel of salvation, cause us to know the fullness of our forgiveness in Jesus' blood. Cause us to see his cross as our only hope and as the good and glad tidings of the gospel to us sinners. We pray that thou wilt declare to us our righteousness and our justification, that thou wilt, by that same gospel, proclaim what thou hast done in Christ, making him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We pray, Father, that thou wilt clothe us with the righteousness of our Lord, that we may stand before thee without fear and with the boldness of faith, knowing that though we have transgressed thy law, our Lord has kept thy law so that we may appear in thy presence. And though we have incurred upon ourselves a deadly guilt, our Lord has taken that guilt upon himself so that we may come near unto thee. And although we have earned for ourselves death and hell, our Lord descended into hell and bore all of its agonies for us, that we might live forever with thee. We pray, Father, that thou wilt, declaring this unto us, so work in us also by thy Spirit, that we may with joy and gladness begin to live not only according to some, but according to all of thy commandments, that our lives may be given to thee in whatever calling thou hast given us, so that with zeal and with diligence we strive to obey thy law and to fight against sin, to the glory of thy name and in abounding gratitude unto thee. We pray, Father, that thou wilt bless us also by calling us to thyself in worship and drawing us near unto thee, that on the Lord's Day we may, as a congregation, bow in thy presence and honor thee and praise thee for all that thou hast done. For we know, Father, that this is thy goal and thy purpose in all things, including our salvation, the glory and honor of thy name in Jesus Christ through the salvation of thy church. We pray also, Father, that thou wilt continue to set before us the brevity of our earthly life. Continue to teach us that the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We pray, Father, that we may then lay up our treasures in heaven and not here upon the earth, that our hearts may not be set here amidst all of the things that moth and rust corrupt, and all of the things that thieves can break through and steal, but that our hearts may be in heaven with thee, where our Savior dwells at thy right hand. We pray, Father, that thou wilt satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days, and make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of thee, the Lord our God, be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We beseech thee that thou wilt do all of these things, Father, to the glory and honor and praise of thy holy name. We thank thee also, Father, that thou hast been good to us in our earthly circumstances, even as a church, that thou hast given us in these past days and weeks and months places to worship and assemble. We pray, Father, that thou wilt continue to guide all of the procedures that go on now with regard to the purchase of a property. Wilt thou guide the finance committee in their deliberations and their recommendations? Wilt thou guide the building committee in their deliberations and decisions? We pray that thou wilt guide the council as it receives reports and decides on them, and bless us as a congregation as we receive the fruit of these reports, as we see the proposals that shall come, and as we gather as a congregation in the days and weeks to come in order to make a final decision. We pray, Father, that thou wilt guide us in all of these things. As thou hast continued to provide for us, so continue to provide for us in these days to come. And we pray, Father, that even in this we may set our hearts upon Thee and upon Thy house, Thy heavenly mansions in glory. For we know that here on the earth we have no settled abiding place. For we are strangers and pilgrims here and sojourners, as our fathers were, as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of Thy people. And we confess before Thee, Father, that our one desire is that we may dwell with Thee all the days of our life, that we may dwell in Thy temple and behold Thy beauty and inquire in Thy temple. For Thou art our God, and we are Thy people. Thou hast redeemed us by the blood of our Lord, and brought us near unto Thyself in covenant mercies and love, and caused us to know Thy fellowship, and caused us to be members of Thy family and citizens of Thy kingdom, and have our membership in Thy church. Father, Thou art good. Thy mercies are high as the heavens. We praise Thy name and honor Thee. We pray that Thou wilt remember us in our sorrows as well. Wilt Thou continue to be with the sick and the afflicted, restore to health according to Thy will. Remember our aged and infirm. Wilt Thou give unto them a rich measure of Thy grace, and give unto them strength of heart and joy of heart in Thee, their God. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt remember the triplets as they continue in the hospital. Wilt Thou give to them strength and build their strength, develop their bodies, that they may be able in due time to come home and take up their life with their family. We pray that Thou wilt remember all of the infants in the congregation and the families who care for them, as mothers are busy with the care of the young ones. We pray for strength and grace in the covenant homes that Thou hast established. We pray that in these things too Thy name may be honored, as we bring up covenant children in the fear of Thy name to Thy glory, according to Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt remember those who are one with us in confession and heart, but who are not able to assemble with us on the Lord's days and in these other meetings because of distance. We pray that Thou wilt give unto them a rich measure of Thy grace and comfort their hearts. We pray that Thou wilt bless the plans that have been laid for the lecture in Northwest Iowa in the weeks to come. Wilt Thou be with the members in Northwest Iowa who look forward to a time of encouragement and fellowship with saints from this congregation. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt use the lecture for the good of Thy people there, that the events of these last days may be set in their historical perspective, and so that the doctrinal issue that has been controversial in these last years may be set in its historical context as the great battle of all of the ages, the great battle of the truth against the lie, and light against darkness, and indeed the seed of the woman against the seed of the serpent. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt use that for our encouragement too, as we see Thy mercy in preserving Thy truth from one age to the next, so that Thy truth shall endure, though that truth is hated and despised, though that truth is something we ourselves would never confess but would abandon for the sake of every earthly advantage, but that truth which Thou hast preserved, that truth which Thou shalt preserve even unto the end. We thank Thee, Father, for the heart of that truth, which is Jesus Christ Himself, so that when Thou dost give us Thy truth, Thou dost give us the Lord. Thou dost give us all that He has done and accomplished for us. Father, Thou art good, and Thy mercies are to the heavens. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt remember our office bearers and their labors, be with the elders and their oversight of the flock, the deacons and their comfort of the flock, the pastor in his instruction of the flock. We pray that in all of these things, we as thy people may know the tender care of the Lord through his word, as that word is brought to us by the office bearers and applied by thy Spirit. We pray that thou wilt be with those men who have been elected. Wilt thou strengthen them as they are ordained and installed this coming Lord's Day? Wilt thou cause the men to be strengthened by the Spirit and upheld by him, that they may fulfill their office to the glory of thy name and to the blessing of the congregation? Father, in all of these things we depend upon thee, for thou art our God, and thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Our hope is in thee. Our life is in thee. And so we beseech thee that thou wilt bless and keep us as thy church. Be with us now as we open thy word and hear an exhortation from it. Wilt thou encourage us by the instruction set before us as we see the Holy Spirit and all of his work, especially in his work of abiding with us, and especially as we see him and enjoy fellowship with thee in him. These things we pray, not in our name or worth, but in the name and worth of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Tonight we turn to several passages in the Gospel according to John, beginning with John 14, verses 16 through 18. The passages that we read from John 14, 15, and 16 are all passages in which Jesus promised to send the Spirit as the Comforter, and the Spirit as the Spirit of truth for the comfort of his church. And we look at these passages because tonight, in our series on the doctrine of covenant fellowship, we turn our attention to the work of the Holy Spirit in that fellowship that we enjoy with God. So we begin in John 14, verses 16 through 18. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Then we go to that same chapter, verses 25 through 27, John 14, verses 25 through 27. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Next we go to John 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Next we turn to John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then that same chapter, verses 12 through 15. John 16, verses 12 through 15. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. In all of these passages, our Lord teaches us the truth of the Spirit, whom he promised to send and has sent unto his church. Tonight we continue our series of meditations on the doctrine of covenant fellowship. In this series so far, we have seen that when we talk about covenant fellowship, we are talking about the fellowship, first of all, that Jehovah God has within himself as the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That the first meaning of covenant fellowship is not God's fellowship with us, but his own fellowship with himself. That's the foundation for all covenant fellowship. Jehovah God was pleased in his mercy and grace to bring us as members of his church into his own covenant fellowship so that we as God's people enjoy that very fellowship of the triune God. And we enjoy that fellowship of the triune God himself through Jesus Christ, who is the second person come in our flesh and to whom we have been united by the Spirit of Christ. So that being one body and one plant and one organism with Christ, we have access into that very covenant life of the triune God himself. And truly, our fellowship is with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen that the Lord Jesus Christ brings us into that fellowship of God as the mediator who has made atonement for us and the mediator who intercedes for us. And we have seen that Christ brings us into fellowship with God as the head of the covenant. For we are elected in Jesus Christ as the head, and we are united to him as members of the body are united to the head. In all of this, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his sovereign powerful work, brings us into fellowship with God, brings us into that relationship of friendship so that we know and enjoy and live in that fellowship with God. Tonight we continue this series on covenant fellowship and the doctrine of covenant fellowship by seeing the work of the Holy Spirit in this fellowship that we enjoy with Jehovah God. When we start to talk about the Holy Spirit and fellowship with God, we have not left behind the truth that our fellowship with God is through Jesus Christ, because the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, whom he has sent for our comfort and for our fellowship with God. So that here too, we still see that the truth of covenant fellowship is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that fellowship and have that fellowship only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He receives honor and he receives glory in this doctrine. When we talk about the Spirit and his work in our covenant fellowship with Jehovah, we're going to look at that in two meetings, the Lord willing. Tonight, we look at the Spirit with regard to who he is and what he does in this covenant fellowship that we enjoy with God. And then the next time we meet, Lord willing, we will look at the truth of the Holy Spirit as the author of faith. That is, that connection between us and Christ that the Holy Spirit creates. And by that, we also see the important role of faith in covenant fellowship. But tonight, we begin the truth of the Spirit's role in our covenant fellowship with Jehovah by looking at who he is and what he does in this fellowship. To begin with who the Spirit is then, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. There is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, first, second, and third persons in the Holy Trinity. And that means then that the Holy Spirit is God, The Holy Spirit is co-eternal and co-essential with the Father and with the Son. The Holy Spirit is co-equal with them, for in the Trinity there is neither first nor last, but all of them are equal. He is the third person of the Trinity, who is the Holy Spirit as the breath of Jehovah. That's what his name means. Holy Spirit means holy breath. As we can see in our English word respiration, you can pick out the word spirit or the root of that word spirit in respiration. And just as respiration is breathing in and breathing out, so the Holy Spirit is the holy breath of Jehovah God. The Holy Spirit is the holy breath of God who is given to Jesus Christ as his own. And here we come to what is undoubtedly the greatest mystery of the truth of the Spirit, something beyond our comprehension. The third person of the Trinity is given by God to the second person of the Trinity as his Spirit to pour out upon his church. The third person of the Trinity is not subordinate, for there is no subordination within the Godhead, and yet the third person is given to the second to be his own and to be poured out. This is all taught to us in Acts 2, verse 33, Acts 2 being the record of Pentecost, and in Peter's sermon at the occasion of Pentecost, he explains all the signs of the Spirit that the church had witnessed this way. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, Jesus hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. The Lord Jesus Christ at his ascension was exalted to the right hand of God, and set at God's right hand, and received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ, according to his human nature, having received the promise of the Holy Spirit, sitting at God's right hand, poured out that Spirit upon his church, which was evidenced in all of the signs that the church beheld. Our minds stagger at this. We have a hard time understanding it. But the point of it is that when the Spirit is poured out upon the church, that's Jesus Christ himself pouring out that Spirit upon the church. And that Spirit that he pours out is his Spirit for the comfort of the church. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Now don't forget that. He's easy to forget. The Holy Spirit is. Because of our weakness, because of our natural ignorance and blindness, it's easy for us to forget the Holy Spirit. And part of that is because of the way that the Holy Spirit works. He works as God's breath. He's God's breath, the Holy Spirit. And how often don't you and I forget breath? How often today have you thought about breathing? In this day, you'll take 20,000 breaths, give or take. 20,000 times. You'll breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. And how often in those 20,000 times have you thought about it? Probably not once all day, unless there is some illness and breathing is painful, then you might think about it. Or in some exertion, after some exertion, you try to catch your breath, you might think about it. But for most of the day, we don't think about our breath. But now let your breathing stop for a breath, or two, or ten, and suddenly there's panic, and there's suffocation. Breath is necessary, though we don't even think about it throughout the day. And so it is with the Spirit. The Spirit is there with you. You might say 20,000 times a day, causing you to breathe in the promises of God and breathe out a prayer to God and breathe in the Word of God and breathe out obedience to God. The Holy Spirit abides with His church and is with His church, though oftentimes we don't even think about Him and are not even conscious of Him. But the Holy Spirit is given to us by Christ for fellowship with Jehovah God, for fellowship with Him. The Lord Jesus Christ in His mercy has given us the Spirit for fellowship with Him, so that through the work of that Spirit and the presence of that Spirit, we have and enjoy fellowship with God. And that makes this whole matter of covenant fellowship a gift of God in His sovereign mercy and sovereign grace to His church. For Christ has given us this fellowship through His Spirit, who is God and who is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can draw that out and understand that more fully in five truths regarding Christ giving us the Spirit for covenant fellowship with God. In the first place, Christ gives us the Spirit to abide with us, to dwell with us. The Holy Spirit abides in you. He dwells in you and has taken up your heart as His dwelling place when Christ poured Him out upon the church. We see that in John 14, verses 16 and 17. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. God is in you. God dwells with you. God abides with you. God the Holy Spirit does. So that all through the day, and all through the night, and all through your joy, and all through your sorrow, God Himself abides in you and is in you. That was necessary for the disciples to hear in John 14 because Jesus had just announced to the disciples something unthinkable, something they could not imagine. And what He had announced in John 13 is that He was going away from them to a place where they could not follow. John 13, verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say unto you." Jesus was going away? How could that be? Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the promised seed of the woman, and the disciples knew it. They understood who He was. How could He go away from them? The disciples, when they heard that, were troubled. Their hearts were filled with turmoil. So that Jesus has to begin John 14 with those famous words, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't be filled with turmoil. Don't be filled with trouble. And one of Jesus' answers to their trouble was to promise them, "I will send you the Spirit, and that Spirit shall dwell with you and abide with you and be in you." That's your covenant fellowship with God. That's your life with Him. The Spirit of God is in your heart and abides with you. The second truth of the Spirit and covenant fellowship is that the Spirit is given to us to comfort us. And He's well known in John 14, 15, and 16 as the Comforter. That's what Jesus calls Him repeatedly. John 14, verse 18, for example, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, and so on. Jesus says, I will comfort you, and I will comfort you with the Comforter. That word comfort means that one has been called alongside another in order to support that one and strengthen that one who of himself has no strength and who of himself has no support. That's what the Comforter is to you and to me. He's the one who comes alongside, being sent by Jesus Christ to uphold us. He's the one who comes alongside to strengthen us, to cause us to endure. And that's your fellowship with Jehovah by that Comforter. And you can ask yourself, and I can ask myself, how is it that the Church of Jesus Christ can endure the hatred of the whole world? How is it that she can endure that? How is it that the Church of Jesus Christ can endure what Jesus says in Matthew 10, ye shall be brought before councils, ye shall be scourged in synagogues, ye shall be brought before kings and rulers for my sake, all men shall hate you. How is it that the church can endure those things? Well, you can't endure that, and I cannot endure that. If you and I had to stand on our own against the hatred of the whole world, we would be crushed. But the reason that the church endures this is because the Comforter has come. And he's the one who is called alongside to uphold and strengthen his church. And how is it that the Church of Jesus Christ can endure the loss of all things, can endure suffering, can endure sickness and death? Not in ourselves, but only by the Holy Spirit who is given to us as our Comforter. And how is it that you can endure day after day and moment after moment that battle in your own heart against that old man of sin who is corrupt and who is filthy? How is it that you can battle against him who hates God and wants to curse God? You can't battle him in your own strength, but you have the Spirit who is given you as your Comforter to uphold you and to strengthen you. That's the fellowship of the children of God with God through the Spirit. In the third place, when the Spirit is given to us, he is given as the Spirit of Jesus Christ so that Jesus himself abides with us. And that too was necessary for the disciples to hear. He said, I'm going away from you. But then he immediately said, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And when he said, I will come to you, he meant I will come to you by that Spirit. I will pray the Father, John 14, verse 16, and he shall give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. And then verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When the Lord Jesus Christ sends his Spirit into our hearts, that's Jesus himself abiding in our hearts. Now, as far as Jesus' human nature goes, that human nature remains in heaven. He sits now at the right hand of God, and he shall sit at the right hand of God until he returns again on the clouds of glory. But when he sends his Spirit into our hearts, he sends his own Spirit, who knows Jesus Christ and brings all of the things of Jesus Christ to our hearts, so that it is Christ himself who comes to us by his Spirit. That means you dwell with your Lord. You dwell with your Lord now. You dwell with your Lord all your days, for he has come to you in his Spirit, and that's the one thing that we desire. There's nothing better than that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Will you dwell with the Lord right now as he has come to you by his Spirit? In the fourth place, the truth of covenant fellowship and the Spirit is this. that the Holy Spirit dwells with us and brings the Lord Jesus Christ to us consciously by the truth. The Holy Spirit cannot be separated from the truth. The Holy Spirit cannot be separated from the Word of God. He cannot be separated from doctrine, from true doctrine. And that's because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, as he is announced in John 14, verse 25. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Back in John 14, verse 17, he is called the Spirit of Truth. And then in John 16, verses 12 through 15, Jesus calls him again the Spirit of Truth, who will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And Jesus goes on to say that the Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, knows all the things of Christ. He knows all the truth of Christ. He knows all the person of Christ. He knows all the work of Christ. He knows all the things of Christ. And the Holy Spirit takes all of those things of Christ and brings them in the breath of Christ, which he is, right into the hearts of his church. So that the church of Jesus Christ, having the Word of God, knows Jesus Christ and knows the truth. The world doesn't have that. The world doesn't know Christ. It doesn't know God. It might know the name God. It might know the name Christ. But it doesn't know him. It doesn't have all the things of Christ right in its heart, right in its conscious mind. But the church of Jesus Christ does, by the grace of God, who gives us the Spirit of Truth, who carries all those things of Jesus Christ right to our hearts, so that you know the person of Christ, and you know the work of Christ, and you know his grace and his salvation to you. The Spirit of Christ does not work apart from the Word of God, but as the Spirit of Truth brings all the things of Christ and causes us to know them, to believe them, and to love them. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ does not work to apply false doctrine and by false doctrine cause the church to know Christ. The Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. There is another Spirit, the Spirit of the lie, the Spirit that shall animate Antichrist, the Spirit that is really the Spirit in harmony with the devil and all his host. That Spirit of the lie works in the world as well and goes through the world, carries the things of the world and the things of man and the things of the devil to the hearts of men. That spirit of the lie is not the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit of Truth. And this is one reason, then, among many others, that the Church of Jesus Christ abominates the lie and does not tolerate the lie and cannot tolerate the lie, because that lie is not of the Spirit of Christ. That lie militates against the truth that that Spirit of Christ brings, so that when the Spirit, as the breath of Christ, comes into our souls and teaches us the sovereignty of God in saving such wretches as us, then the church will not tolerate the spirit of the lie that tries to blow into the heart of the church and say, but wait a minute, leave a little place for man there. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of Truth and causes us to know him by the truth. And the Spirit of Christ, bringing that truth to our hearts, gives us covenant fellowship with God, so that your fellowship and mine with God is that He comes near unto us and says to us all the things of His Word, and all the things of His Son, and all the things of His salvation, and applies those things right into our hearts and minds by His Spirit, so that you know those things and rejoice in those things. And finally, fifthly, the Spirit of truth is the Spirit who has been purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, our right to have the Spirit in our hearts is a right purchased for us by Christ. And that's evident from Acts 2, verse 33. When Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, then He received the promise of the Spirit, which He then poured out on His church. The Lord Jesus Christ went through the cross to cover all the iniquity of His people, who by nature have no right to know the things of God, and who by nature have no right to dwell with God and to have God dwell with them. He went to the cross to cover all of our sins, and through that cross purchased resurrection and life and the Spirit, so that having ascended to the Father, He received the promise of the Holy Spirit and poured Him out, so that we now see and hear Him, not through those New Testament, early New Testament signs, but we see and hear Him through the truth of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His cross, bought for you and for me the right to have the Spirit, so that when you know the truth, and when you rejoice in that truth and believe it, and when you walk with your God by that Spirit who dwells in your hearts, then all of that is to the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him to the praise and the glory of God, who gave Him to us, that He might purchase for us all these things. Glory to God for His covenant fellowship with us through the Spirit. Let us sing now again, Psalter number 389. Stanza 5, by Thy good Spirit led, from trouble and distress, my erring feet shall tread the path of uprightness. Let's sing the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. 1, 5, and 6 of 389. Thank you. ask Elder Engelsma to close the prayer for us, and afterwards, all who are interested in traveling to Iowa, if we could meet over here.
Shall we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, we bow our heads before thee again in prayer in this evening hour, with hearts that are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving unto thee. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast not left us comfortless, but hast given us the Holy Spirit, even the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, who upholds and sustains and strengthens us in all of our earthly pilgrimage. We marvel at these truths, O Lord. They are deep truths, yet thou hast given them to us so that we receive them as children. We believe them by faith, and we find great comfort and joy in them. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt continue to kindle in our heart a love for these truths, a love for the truth that points us again and again to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he might receive all of the honor and the glory and the praise. We confess, Lord, as we have felt pricked, even in this time of hearing this meditation, of how often we have forgotten the Holy Spirit. And even in the last 5 years of the doctrinal controversy, how often have we not thought of the work of the Spirit in giving us that covenant fellowship with thee? We confess this sin before thee, O Lord, and we repent of it. And we thank thee that thou dost not leave us in our ignorance, but that thou dost call us again and again to a knowledge of that Spirit, which indeed is the Spirit itself, the Spirit of truth. We pray that thou wilt continue to bless this congregation. Thou hast led us in marvelous paths. We thank thee that thou dost continue to lead us, and we are confident, Lord, in our faith is that thou wilt continue to do so. Give us wisdom in all of our way and all of our life together. We pray, O Lord, that we might bring honor and glory unto thy name and none upon ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, when we have sought that empty, vain glory, the praise of men. Turn us, O Lord, from such a wicked spirit, and turn us, O Lord, so that we know that all the praise and the honor is thine. And what do we have that we have not been given? And if indeed we have been given all things, why do we behave as though we have not been given it? We thank thee, O Lord, for Jesus Christ, who washes all of these sins away in his blood, so that we stand before thee even now clothed in the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we conclude this prayer. Amen.